Good morning. It is wonderful to be in our Father's house once again, to be in his presence, to be forgiven, to hear his word, and to be able to respond with songs of praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. And as we are gathered here this morning, we remember the day that we were brought into the family of God in our baptism, and we begin our service with the name spoken over us that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today, Lord, with incredible joy and thanksgiving that you make it possible for us to be here. That because we wear the robes of righteousness, Lord, that your Son earned for us on the cross, that we have credit for his new life, Lord, that perfect life in him, that we can be here, that we can be in your presence, that we can call ourselves and that you call us your children. Thank you, Lord, for all that. And Lord, I pray that you would be here among us today. Send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds. Encourage us and grow our faith as we hear your word and receive your grace. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sin. As we come into our Father's house, we can't help but remember all the things that we have done wrong and the way that we need the grace and forgiveness that our God has for us. So let us confess right now. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. O most merciful God, you have given your only begotten Son to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's praise this God who has so graciously come to us when we couldn't come to him, given us faith, given us forgiveness, and now today welcomes us into his presence. Let's sing praise.
Word our life, we came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to us to show his power and might. And that's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything.
First reading for today comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And the sermon text for today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. The actual text in the pericope was verse 19 through 25, but I really thought 18 was actually part of the paragraph, and so I put it back in. And you'll see why in a little bit, because it hurts. And I think that's why they tried to leave it out. You ready for this? Okay, here we read. "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." That's the part that they left out. Yeah. "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul." All right, my friends, it is now time for the children's message. So kiddos, if you would come forward at this time.
Those are special times when we have babies, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you guys were never babies, were you? You were always growing up. Is that right? Okay. Tell me something. If one of the people on the playground hit you, what do you want to do?
Hit them back?
Yes. That's what you want to do, but should you?
No.
Oh. What part of you wants to hit them back?
The devil.
Yes. You know, we all inherited a sinful nature. That's right. That's where it started. That was the first sin. And so is it a sin to hit someone back?
Yes.
How do we know? Yes, it hurts them. Are we supposed to hurt people?
No.
Absolutely not. Tell me something. Do we want to follow Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we go to church.
Yes, we learn about Jesus, don't we? So that we can follow him. And the first reading was talking about following Jesus. He said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Okay? We want to follow him. We want to follow his commands. And you know what he says to us in the Bible? The part that Pastor Bob just read the sermon text. Let's just listen to that again. To this you were called. You know what it means to be called? When Mama calls you to dinner, does that mean you can stay out and play?
No.
No, it means you got to come in, right? And so when Jesus calls us, he calls us to come to him. Because Christ suffered for you. Why did he suffer? Because people were being mean to him, weren't they? Did he hit them back?
No.
No. And so he left us an example, and that's what the text says, that we should follow in his steps. We should do like he did. He loved those who were being mean to him. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. In other words, he didn't try to get even. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. And that's what you and I can do, too. When someone is mean to us, what do we do? We love them. We love them, yes. And we forgive them. That's what God wants us to do, to love and forgive just like he loves and forgives us. Is that easy to do?
Not always.
No, hardly ever, is it? You know why? Because of that sinful nature inside of us. We have to be fighting that sinful nature all the time. And you know how we can do that? How do we fight the sinful nature?
Reading the Bible?
Yes! To draw God's Holy Spirit through the Bible, that he will come to us and believe in us. Does God believe in us, or do we believe in him?
We believe in
him. That's right. He is our strength. He is the one who helps us to be able to fight against the I wants that come from that sinful nature. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, create in me a clean heart and restore a new spirit within me so that I will always love and forgive those who hurt me. Help me, God, with your strength through Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, everybody, 4-year-old through fourth grade gets to go to little worship at this time. And looks like Joni has little worship today. She's got the cross in the center aisle. And while they're off learning about Jesus, we're going to be right here learning about Jesus as well. And so let us open up our scriptures here. It's kind of an interesting day today. This is a Good Shepherd Sunday. It's kind of an important thing for us to remember how Jesus is our good shepherd, right? And in fact, the text that's for today, this beginning of John 10, comes right before the text that Jesus actually says, I am the good shepherd, right? We don't get to read that today, so erase that. We would get to it if we kept reading. But the thing is that this sermon today is kind of almost like the battle of two texts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because we have two texts that kind of are very different in character here, you know? And we got the first text that's about Jesus is the good shepherd, right? And we love to hear about Jesus is the good shepherd, right? We love to hear about the one who came, who is not trying to destroy, not trying to kill, not trying to tear down, but the one who comes through the gate, the one who comes to us, whose voice we know, who protects us and guides us, who gathers us to himself, protects us in the place. What is the place that where the sheep are always? The pen? Call it that? Okay, very good. In the sheep pen. And then in the morning, he calls us with his voice. We gather together because we know our shepherd. He leads us out to green pastures and to good water and then back to safety once again. And we love the image of Jesus who is doing all these things. And the question is, why do we love this image so much? It's because we're constantly dealing with really difficult stuff in the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this message of peace is really powerful because there's an awful lot of time in our life where we're not experiencing peace, you know? We have all these things that go wrong in our lives, all these times we have trouble, all of these times when we have struggle. Dare we even call it suffering, you know? I mean, the days that, you know, I wake up in the morning and my feet hurt, you know? And that's some of the minor stuff. You know, when we hear of our loved ones who are hurting, when we ourselves hurt, when we have problems in our relationships, when we struggle with sin in our lives, and when that sin in our lives hurts the people around us, and then the guilt that we bear and the frustration that we have as we struggle against that sin, as we are facing more and more persecution in the world. I remember in the beginning of my ministry, we used to call it persecution when a kid would share his faith and somebody would make fun of him. You know what? That's going to be minor. You know what I mean? It's like nowadays, if you share your faith, you could lose your job. You know, you could be shunned in the world today. You could be canceled, I guess they call it these days. There's a lot of bigger things that can happen. And as we go in life, we realize that life is dangerous and that things can happen and that it's not always safe to wear our Christianity on the outside. And so this peace, this image of care and love and compassion and that Jesus is sharing with us in this text today is super powerful, right? Now, here's where things get interesting. The whole idea of this text is that Jesus is the shepherd and that we listen to his voice, we do what he says, and we also follow him, which means we do what he does and go where he goes, right? So riddle me this. Where is Jesus gone? I mean, was Jesus all about happy places and not taking any risks and having everybody love him all the time and being the most popular guy in the room and how about this, you know, avoiding suffering? I mean, if Jesus's goal was to avoid suffering, he was utterly a failure. But that wasn't his goal. His goal instead was to suffer for us. Right? Well, now all of a sudden this good shepherd thing gets a little dark, doesn't it? I mean, if we're going to follow the one who came to suffer, that wasn't an accident that Jesus suffered on the cross for us. That was the plan. That was why he came. That was his calling from the Father. That was the job he was given to do from eternity so that we could be saved. Isn't that an incredible thing to think about? And if the good shepherd came to suffer and we're supposed to follow him, what might we expect? Suffering. And here's the problem. The suffering is not a bug. It's a feature. You understand this? Because halfway through the text for this sermon for today, he says, to this you were called. That the suffering that we experience in life is a calling placed upon us by the God who suffered in our place. And let me explain how this works. The way it works is this, is that Jesus came and suffered that we may live forever, that our sins were covered, that he paid the full penalty, that he gives us credit for his perfect life. The Bible talks in terms of that we wear the robes of righteousness that Jesus earned on the cross, which is such a beautiful image, right? But then God does the crazy thing where he says, I've done all this. Now your job is to go out and be my witnesses in the world. that you are the ones who are supposed to wear my name, that you are the ones who are supposed to be known by your love, that in love is sacrifice. And so, but basically that means is you will do whatever it takes to wear the name of Christ, to speak the gospel of Christ so that more people can be saved. I mean, this is a, we are doing this for a purpose. We are doing this because the God of love who died for us, who suffered for us, is now sending us into the world so that we can love, which means suffer for others so that they also might live. And here's the thing. Is it shocking for the Christian when we go out into the world and we witness his gospel, we witness his good news, we speak his truth because we love the people around us? Is it a shock that we would be persecuted, that we would suffer because we wear the name of Christ? No. In fact, Jesus actually said, you will. If they didn't like me, they are not going to like you. You know, if Jesus was persecuted, and it wasn't just the cross, I mean, how many times throughout his ministry would they people come to him and tried to trip him up with questions and make him look like a fool or tell rumors about him? And I mean, the entire trial of Jesus was nothing more than them misusing things that Jesus had spoken to try to make him look bad. I mean, Jesus was persecuted in every way. And what our good shepherd tells us is that, yes, I am here to protect you. I am here to take you to good places where you can find good food. I am going to be the one who provides for you the good water that you need to drink. I will be the one who will bring you to a safe place, and I will lay down between you and the one who is coming for you. But at the same time, we will suffer with our shepherd. And that's not a real happy message, is it? I mean, it's not something that we look forward to, but then just understand, remember how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Eden? Or Garden of Eden? different garden. Garden of Gethsemane? Remember that? And remember how Jesus prayed? Did he want to suffer? Did he want to die? But in the end, out of worshipful obedience to the Father who sent him into the world for this precise purpose, he said, not my will, but yours be done. And this is the life that God is calling us into. A life where we are going to suffer for the name of Christ. And what I want you to understand is this. This is worship. I think a lot of times we think worship is like when we come to church and sing songs. I think a lot of times we even minimize what it means to be Christian, is that we think that being Christian means that we have a set appointment on Sunday morning, right? As long as we didn't stay out too late on Saturday. You know, that we're going to be here in church and that this is what it means to be Christian. We're going to be here. And that's not what God's describing here. What God's describing here is that being a Christian means that it's going to affect our entire life. It's going to be a big change, and it's going to come with some big responsibility. And the responsibilities are that we will speak. We will be his hands and feet. We will speak his word. We will speak his truth in love. We will proclaim his gospel and his salvation. We will speak truth about what is good and about what is evil. We will, in love, be his spokesperson in the world. regardless of what it costs. Now, those are some big words because we're seeing the cost build up. But the question is it worth not speaking? Because what it means if we do not speak is that people don't hear. What it means if we do not speak is that we are making a value judgment in our mind that it is better that I do not suffer this fleeting momentary problem in my life, right? Because even if it affects the rest of your life, how long is that in the context of the life that God has given us, right? I mean, we're living forever, right? So if it costs us something in this life for another person to live forever, which is more valuable? Remember, Jesus said, they will know you by your love. Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. Those words are meaningful. There's a lot of stuff in those words. I mean, what Jesus did for us because of his love was no joke. And he is telling us our job is to love with all the seriousness and intensity that we received love from Christ. Because the people that we are going to suffer for, so that they hear the gospel, so that these children are raised in the faith, so that their parents know what is true, that we don't discount the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we a lot of times will think, you know, this person is so far gone, there is nothing that's going to change their mind. There is no reason for me to go out on a limb for them because it's not going to work anyway. Anybody ever had that go through the brain? And what is that saying? That's saying God's not powerful to change this person's mind. He can't do it. It's too big of a deal. Can't be done. You really want to say that? I mean, God's kind of powerful. I mean, there's story after story after story of the person on death row who becomes a Christian, or somebody who's serving, you know, prison sentences for murder and horrible crimes that is whose heart is changed by God. I mean, there's people who have been unbelievable, strong, staunch atheists who come to faith in Christ because the Holy Spirit is no joke. The power of God to save is profound. What Jesus did on the cross is intensely powerful, and we can't make light of that. It is too big of a deal. And so when we have an opportunity to speak the faith, there is no excuse for not doing so, even if it's going to cost us. Because it cost Jesus. And he's the good shepherd. And we follow him. And we listen to his voice, and if he says, go into the world and love as I have loved you, guess what we need to do? We go into the world and we love. We love with everything we have because it is the God who saved us, this incredible good shepherd. And just remember, guys, we get to do this because we are his people. We get to do this because we are his children. We get to do this because we are divine royalty, children of the King. We get to do this because of what God has made us to be in him. He has given us an identity, and our identity is this: we are his. From baptism, we belong to him. And it's so funny because, you know, that I love that they tried to take that one sentence off the text for today because it's offensive to Americans. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit to yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. And the thing is, what I love about this is that we have a response to that, don't we, Americans? Slave? Me? Slave? I'm not a slave to anybody. I'm an American. I have freedom. Nobody can tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do. You know what? The Jews had exactly the same response. In John 8, he said, "We are children of Abraham and have never been slaves to anybody. What are you talking about? We're a slave." Right? Well, what is this slave language talking about? It's talking about this, is that everybody serves. Everybody serves something. Right? And so the question is, what are you going to serve? You're going to dedicate your life to something. Your choices are going to be governed by something that you hold to be the ultimate value in your life, right? Now the question is it your retirement? Is it a trip to Europe? What is the thing that you are living for? The thing that you say, when I get this, I will have arrived, right? Because whatever that is, that's your thing. That's the thing that you are a slave to. You are sacrificing your life for something. And let me tell you this. You're a divine child of God. Folks, these things are, there's only one thing worthy of your worship, worthy of your sacrifice, worthy of your life, worthy of being put first. And that is what God has made in you, what God has asked us to do, commanded us to do as his people in this world, that we would live for him, that we would put everything for him, that we would be slaves of Christ, not because he has forced us to, but because we can't stand to live any other way. Because nothing else is worthy of us as God's children. And so, folks, we're not saved to a spirit of fear. We're not saved to be brought into this world so that we just hide and, you know, try to fly under the radar and, you know, be Christian on the inside but not the outside. It's not why we were saved. We were saved so that we could proclaim the life-giving message of Jesus. To do it not just begrudgingly, not just reluctantly, not just because, well, God said I have to do this, so I better get this done for the day. But with all the passion and desire that God has given us in our life, with all the creativity and intelligence, with everything that God has given us, all of our gifts and abilities can be bent to the service of him so that more people can know about Jesus' suffering. And if it causes us suffering, then so be it. That suffering is worship. As we live out our calling as his children in this world. And one day, all that suffering will be over. It'll all be done. You know, it's amazing. You hear all the stories of people who are living in countries where they're facing like real hard persecution, where the Christians are all gathered up and put in cells. And you hear of the spontaneous worship services that break out in those cells, and people think, well, how in the world can these people be worshiping God when they're facing such persecution? And what that you don't understand is this: they understand this. They are joyful in their persecution because they are living out what God gave them to live. They are doing the task that God gave them to live out. They are anticipating the eternity that Jesus is now preparing for us. And in this, in the middle of the hardest suffering, they don't just have hope, they have joy. And this is the joy to which we have been called, that we would also follow our good shepherd wherever he leads us, that we would suffer in his name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into your church, brought us into your family, brought us into this faith, brought us to this incredible liberty that we have in forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be our good shepherd, Lord, as we live our lives in service to you. Lord, I pray that as we struggle, as we suffer, that you would continue to give us the things that we need to continue to do your work. Give us the food, give us the drink, give us the rest, give us the safety that is required so that we can live out our lives in service to you, whatever the cost. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let's continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, we will sing. And I also ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. Let's sing.
Is the name above all.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At St. Mark's, we are very adamant about the value of every life, including and especially the lives that cannot speak for themselves, that we are, as God's people, are actually called by Christ to advocate for those who are weak. And Jesus has told us that when we serve the least of these, it's... that's when we're serving him. And so in keeping with this, we are a very extremely pro-life congregation. And in affirming life, it puts responsibilities upon us. And so I'm going to read our statement today. Because God values life, and this church is a life-affirming church, therefore, if you find yourself with unplanned pregnancy, or if you know of somebody else with an unplanned pregnancy, please... know that as your church family, we will walk with you. Being pregnant is not a sin, even though the pregnancy is unplanned or unwanted. The child you carry is not a punishment. It is a divine miracle, a blessing that God has given, and God values that life. And we will not shame you or abandon you. We will love you and support you. We will do everything in our power to remove any obstacle standing in the way of you having the child, even though it may be unplanned. We will connect you with resources inside and outside of the church to help you. Because God loves you and your child, we love you and your child. And if anyone has an abortion in the past, please hear when I say that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. God, the Bible clearly teaches that whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds God's mercy. Please allow us to be, as your church family, to help you find the healing and freedom from the condemnation that Christ wants you to have. And Jesus forgives sin and says, go and sin no more. With that, let us stand and pray. Oh, boy, as we stand and pray today, I got one thing that we need to be praying for, and it's kind of exciting. Jackie Langley, Jackie Haas, one of our teachers, had her baby yesterday. Very cool. Little baby Liam was born about a month early, but he is doing very well. And so is mom, according to Jake. I asked, how they're doing, and what I got back from Jake is the baby is good, mom is great too. That was it. That's all I got. So I have very little information other than that his name is Liam. He was 5 pounds, 9 ounces. And let's just give God thanks and praise for the blessing of new life. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you that you have made us your children, brought us into your family, Lord, that you are the good shepherd that guides your sheep and takes care of us, Lord, and at the same time gives us purpose in this world, something that is worth living for, worth suffering for, even worth dying for. And that is the message of the salvation, that same message that saved us, Lord, that we would be willing to proclaim it no matter what the cost. Lord, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith, give us words to say, give us courage in the moment so that we can, Lord, walk out your expectation of love. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, thank you so much for the baby that you have given the Langley family, Lord, Jake and Jackie. I pray that you would continue to be with them as they grow into parenthood, Lord, and all that that means. Lord, I pray that you would be with that beautiful little baby, Liam, that you would continue to help him, Lord, remain healthy and to grow, Lord, not just to grow physically, Lord, but to grow in faith in you as he is raised by his parents to do so. And Lord, there are so many other people in our congregation and in our world today who are also with child, Lord, families that are growing because of your gracious love. I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of these ladies who are pregnant at this time, that you would give them strength, give them comfort, Lord, give them sleep so that they can continue to live out the roles that you have given them in this world. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you would continue to bless our church. Continue to bless us, Lord, as we continue to bring the faith to the next generation, Lord, to these beautiful children, Lord, that you have given us. I pray that you would continue to give us wisdom as we do so. Help us, Lord, to teach. Help us to pass this faith on to the next generation. Lord, thank you for the faith that you have obviously put in our children, Lord, as they answer questions in the children's message with authority, that they know the answers because they have been taught and because your Spirit has given them faith. All these things we bring to you, Lord, with great thanksgiving. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Coming to you today, our
My dear friends, God has done it again. He is faithful. You know, every single time we gather here in his name, he shows up. He shows up in his word. He shows up in his forgiveness. He shows up when we pray, and he shows up in an amazing and physical way in this meal. And in this gift of his body and blood, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And knowing that his promise is solid, that he's good for his word. Depart in his peace. Enjoy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise together.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who
Seated. A few announcements as we go our way today. First of all, there's Dying to Donate tomorrow at Camilla's. So if you want to help us raise money for our friends in Guatemala, and this is to help support our trip to Guatemala, but it also is supporting us as we send money to Guatemala so that our dear friend Nils, he's just the most amazing guy, but we send Nils money every once in a while so that he can go out and buy food and distribute it to hungry people in the community down there as well. So that's what this is all about. Also, let's see, what do we have up here? Can we click? There we go. This is the new St. Mark's Garden. It is behind the school. It's kind of, you can see the school there. And basically, right, it's a beautiful thing. This Joan Salters was the brains behind this, and I think Steve Salters was most of the brawn. But, And at the last slide, they actually started planting things in it. So that is a real exciting thing. Such an exciting time. This is a great ministry. This is something that the church and school are doing together. The kids are going to be involved in the planting and maintenance of the garden until school is out. And then after that, the church will take over and we'll use the food. However God makes available, we will, you know, spread it around the community as we can. So this is it's a pretty cool thing. I love it. All right, with that, there's also something else that we're going to be rolling out today, and that is a streaming service called Right Now Media, and it is basically everybody that we have email addresses for has received an invitation. It costs you nothing. The church pays for the subscription. It is basically a Bible study streaming service, and so there's a whole bunch of Bible studies on it. Now, as is the case with Bible studies that come from all over the place, you have to have discretion, eat the fish, spit out the bones. If you hear something that doesn't quite sound right, ask. I answer my phone all the time, so just call me and we'll talk about it and stuff. And so, but I think that it is going to be a really good thing for us to be able to dig into the scriptures as we you can use it for daily devotions. You can use it for a whole bunch of different things. Also, families with children, pay attention to this. They have some really good Christian safe cartoons for children. All kinds of remember Adventures in Odyssey, old folks. Remember that when we were kids? Yeah. Okay, that's in here too, but there's a whole bunch of new stuff as well. And so some really good programming for kids as the, programming for children in this world today is becoming less and less safe all the time. It's good to have something that we can use to continue to grow. And so we have a video to kind of introduce you to this. All right. And then, Andy, very good.
Good morning. About 3 years ago, how many of you used or learned how to use Zoom for the very first time? Very good. Since 2020, how many of you have become proficient at using Zoom? How many of you still kind of use it once in a while? Okay, good. So there are people here who know how to use Zoom. That's wonderful. That means we have some candidates to help us with our stream team. The stream team is a group of people who volunteer on Sunday mornings to help stream the service on Zoom so that those who can't be here have an opportunity to still hear God's word and bring it with them. It's also the team that records the video that is on the website that you can watch or listen to throughout the week as well. We need one more team, maybe two more teams, to help out and cover one or two Sundays a month to help us in terms of running the stream from that booth right up there where Oscar is. And Oscar is helping today, so if Oscar can do it, you can do it too, right? I will be around in the back here today if you'd like to talk about how you can be a part of the stream team. You need one, maybe two more families, and since I saw hands go up saying that you know how to use Zoom, that means you're qualified. Come see me today.
All right, with that then, folks, God's blessings on your week. I will see you in the back. We do have someone in the prayer chapel to pray with you if you need individual prayer after the service today. God's blessings.